Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I want to read a portion of verse number 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24, where the Bible says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all." Running in the race. Running in the race. I want to speak this morning on the subject of champions for Christ. Champions for Christ. In the book of Philippians now. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 14 or 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3 verses 13 and 14. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it." I haven't got a hold of it all yet. "I count myself not to have apprehended or to attained. But this one thing I do." Now I like this. "This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind." You can't live in the past. Amen. "Well, I remember when brother..." I don't want to get in trouble here. "When Brother Leo was here and things were different then," and then forget it. Move on. "Forgetting those things which are past," those which are behind, "and reaching forth unto those things which are before." A runner is running, and I've watched them. I love to watch runners running. And they get ready to cross the finish line, and what do? I've seen them put that chest out there. I mean, they're running, and they want to be the first one over. If I'd run, I'd just reach out and grab the thing. But they run, you know, and hit that finish line. Oh, dear friends, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Look at verse number 14. "I press toward the mark," or the prize. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We are all in a race. Those who are born again are in a race. And we are to be champions in the race. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and in verse number 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." We're more than conquerors. A conqueror is a champion. A conqueror is a victor. Now, how can you and I be champions for Christ? Now, I don't know about you, but I personally want to be a champion. I want to serve the Lord. I want to stay in the race. In the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and in verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. We want to notice what the Bible says here. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, where the Bible says, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, I was on the track team at one time. I was not a runner. I was a long jumper. But I watched the runners. They were fleet of foot. But whenever they would practice for a track meet, they would put weights around their ankles. And they would run with those weights on. You know? And then as time went on, they could get pretty good with the weights. But then when we went to the track meet, you know what they did? They laid them aside. They laid them aside and shoo! because they weren't weighted down, they could run better. I believe one of the problems we have in the church today is that we get weighted down with too many things and it keeps us from running at full speed. We're not running the race as we ought to run it. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside the sin that easily, so easily besets us. It weighs us down and carries us down. Sin never takes you up. It always takes you down. Dear friends, to win, there's a price to be paid. You're not going to win without paying the price. And there's a discipline that has to be achieved. And also there's a battle that has to be fought. You said, boy, that's pretty tough, isn't it? A price to be paid, a discipline to be achieved, and there's a battle to be fought? Yes. One of my favorites of the sports world is Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi. And this is what he had to say about being a winner. And yes, these principles of winning apply to us spiritually. And they're much the same as winning in anything. If you're going to be a winner. And I want to be a winner, not a wiener. Amen. And here's what Lombardi said. He said, you have to pay the price. Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Do right, do right, do right until the stars fall, and then do right. I added that. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. I've never known a man worth his salt who in the long run, deep down in his heart, didn't appreciate the grind, the discipline. There is something in good men that really yearns or needs discipline. And the harsh reality of head-to-head combat. I don't say these things because I believe in the brute nature of man, or that men must be brutalized to be combative. He said, I believe in God. And I believe in human decency. But I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, his greatest fulfillment to all he holds dear, is that moment when he has worked his heart out in a good cause and lies exhausted in the field of battle, victorious. We're in a race. We ought to run. We ought to keep going. We ought not to lay out. We are to continue on. And I ask you, will you be a champion for Christ? And of course, I hope and pray that you will. To be champions, we're going to have to endure hardness. Endure hardness. And I agree with Brother Jim and with Brother Frizzell, hardness is coming. We're not exempt from this because we're American. The churches of Kentucky, many of them, have a heritage going back to Virginia where the Baptists were persecuted and beaten and thrown in jail and moved to Kentucky for freedom. And now we have no place to go. Our stand will have to be in Mississippi and in Kentucky and in Tennessee, and we'll have to run the race. We'll have to keep going for the Lord, and we will have to endure hardness as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now enduring hardness speaks of discipline. And we live in an undisciplined age. Children need discipline. They need to be told no, and when you say no, you need to mean it. Adults need to be told no on some things, and when we tell them no, or the Bible tells us no, we ought to know that the Bible means what it says and says what it means. Amen? It's hard to get workers in factories, Doug, because we don't have disciplined people. We need discipline. But not only do we need discipline in the secular world, we need discipline in the spiritual realm. We live in an age where there is little self-control. That's why the drug problem is what it is, because people do not have self-control. Not wanting to say no. But we need discipline. You know the reason that soldiers go to boot camp? I do. You go to boot camp to learn what it is to be under authority and to be under the discipline of another. I'll never forget getting off of that bus in San Antonio, Texas. Two-tone, wingtip shoes, purple peg leg pants. And there's this fellow with this Smokey the Bear hat who says, as soon as I get off, "Get over there! Get over there right now! Don't look at me like that! Don't smile at me!" What? What have I done to him? He said, "You belong to me. As long as you're here, I'm your mama. I'm your papa. I'm in control of you. Now stand up straight. Put that chin up there." And it started as soon as we got off the bus, and then they cut our hair off. For some folks, it wouldn't have been as hard as others, Everett, but anyway, they cut our hair off and they gave us clothes. They took our clothes away and gave us clothes. It said, "You'll wear these." "I don't like those." "Hey, I don't care what you like. You belong to me." That's, you know what GI means? Government issue. And that's what we became. But you know something? Those skills that were taught came in handy. Those skills and those disciplines made the difference in time of battle, in time of danger. And I believe that there are many Christians today who are soft and they're not disciplined and they're not ready, but we'd better get in shape spiritually. It takes discipline to swim against the flow of the world. And friends, right now, we're swimming against the flow. It's coming one way, we're going another. Amen. A good soldier needs not be concerned about worldly things, but about the things of God. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." You don't get all tangled up in the world, in the things of the world. "That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." We've been called out. We were chosen to be soldiers of the Lord. And so we are to be under his discipline. We are to be on active duty. The Bible says there, "No man that warreth." That's speaking about active duty. Duty, military expedition. I have one ribbon and a medal that is for expeditionary service. Being on an expedition. I hope I have a crown to be won for expeditionary service. For serving my God and my captain my King. It takes discipline in life. Doesn't it take discipline to read that Bible every day? Now, growing up, my children all knew that there was a place where I sat every morning and where I read my Bible. And there's a place where I sit and where I read my Bible. And that's the time when you leave Daddy alone. That's my time to be disciplined in reading the Word of God. You need a place. I need a place. We need a place where we get alone with God, and that's our time with Him. And we live in a world of Facebook and iPad and instant this and instant that, and we need a time when we shut it all off and get alone with God so we can listen, so that we can get orders from headquarters, from our commander. And that's going to take discipline with some of you. I wouldn't doubt that somebody's got one out somewhere, even today. I preach in places and I'm all right with them looking their Bible up on it. That's fine with me. I have no problem with that. But I don't want you answering your emails. Okay? I'm not okay with that. But it takes discipline. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need that. And also, to be a good soldier, you've got to be equipped. You've got to be equipped. We need to be girt about with the truth. We need the shield of faith, because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. The Bible tells us to be girt, our loins are to be girt about with the truth. Now, truth is important. Now, that girt about speaks of a belt. And they issued me a belt. And that belt had holes in it. All the way around. Had holes in it. Now, I got, you know, that's pretty cool, but what am I going to use all these holes for? You know what I found out? You hang things on it. You hang ammunition. You hang your .45 pistol. You hang your canteen. And you have all the, and you're girt about. Those things are important. Let me tell you something. The most important thing is, number one, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. But then you need to be girt about with truth. Everything else, listen, everything else is going to hang around truth and hang on truth. Amen? So we need to be girt about with the truth. And we need to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, Ephesians 6, 10, and 11. To be champions, we need to pull down strongholds from our lives. Now, you never win in war unless you take ground. I was in the Air Force. I'm Air Force in my heart. But I realized early on, you can't win by air power alone. You've got to take ground. You've got to have boots on the ground. You never win without taking ground. And that's what we have to do. If we're going to be winners, if we're going to be champions, we have to take ground. Ground that has been given over to Satan has to be taken back. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. I pray these verses day in, day out. I've done this for years and years and years. I've taught it, these verses, to my children. They know them by heart. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, the weapons of our warfare. And I personalize that. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Pulling down strongholds. Whenever our Marines took the beaches at Okinawa and other places, what they had to do was pull down strongholds. They had to go and knock out machine gun nests. They had to knock out pillboxes. They had to tear down, pull down the strongholds, take the ground, and then raise the flag a victory. A victory. That's what you and I need to do. That's what we must do. We must pull down strongholds that keep us from winning, from being victorious. We need to pull down the strongholds. And again, this is a daily thing with me. We need to pull down the strongholds of hatred, bitterness, anger, lust, covetousness, unforgiveness, fear, discouragement, resentment, lack of self-control, and debt. All those things hinder us in our walk with the Lord. You say, you must be a pretty bad person pulling down strongholds of, anger and lust and covetousness and unforgiveness and fear and discouragement and bitterness and hatred and fear and discouragement, resentment, lack of self-control, jealousy. No, that's all of us. We all have our problems with those because we're human. And then the Bible says that once we have retaken the ground, we're not to let the devil enter in that part of our lives again. You say, where's that say in the Bible that that's the way it ought to be? Well, Ephesians 4 and verse 27, where the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. You don't give that to him. You have given that to the Lord. And the stronghold has been pulled down. To be a champion for Christ, we must draw near to God. And to draw near to God, you're going to have to submit to His will and to His way. Remember that the Scripture says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25. James 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and what will He do? He'll draw nigh to you. You need to draw near to Him. And He will draw near to you. Amen. Now, it's decision time. And we have a decision to make. We will either get closer to God and be near Him, or we will get further away and draw away from Him. We'll either be hot or cold or lukewarm. The Bible says in Revelation 3 and 15 and verse 16, speaking to the church at Laodicea, the Lord Jesus said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. He said, I'll tell you what you are. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, I know exactly what that means. I drink hot tea. Hot tea ought to be hot tea. Cold tea ought to be cold tea. But I'll get to studying, I'll get busy with something, and I've got that cup of hot tea, and time escapes me, and I'll reach over and grab that cup and take a sip and go, phew. Ugh. It is lukewarm. And it's a sickening thing to drink hot tea that's not hot. And it's not cold, it's lukewarm. Several times in my ministry, I've passed a sheet out and I've told folks, now on this sheet, I want you to put yourself where you believe you are on a scale of 1 to 10 spiritually. And then take those sheets up. And you know where most people put themselves? Between 4 and 6. You know where that is? Lukewarm. And that's where most people are. And God says, I must spew you out of my mouth. I mean, this is not where you need to be. You need to either be cold, or if you're cold, you can get warmed up. But lukewarm is sickening. And to get on fire and do what we need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what will happen? All these things shall be added unto you. And then to be champions, we must resist the wrong and get a hold of the right. Resist that which is wrong. I believe we ought to fight against it. We ought to say no. We ought to say, I'm not going that route. I am not going to accept it. And I've said that. I got put in a bed and breakfast one time that was run by some queers. You say, now don't say that word. That word, it's like a lot of words. Dear friends, they call themselves that. And the fellas that ran it, I didn't know it, but that's where I got put. That's where I was at. And one of them, he said, you know, that we're, homosexual. I said, well, you're wrong. I said, biblically, you're wrong. And I'm against sodomy. He said, oh, no, our Bible doesn't have the word sodomy. I said, mine does. And God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of it. He said, you're judging us. I said, no. I love you as a person. But I hate your sin, and your sin will send you to hell. He said, we go to church. I actually am a preacher at the Metropolitan Community Church. And I had to tell him, and Denise was with me, and she said, she's waving to me off. he's liable to spit in your groceries or something, And I told him, I said, this is not God's way. And I gave him the gospel. That's all I could do. But, dear friends, we're going to have to stand against wrong. We're going to have to stand for right. Let's be right. Let's do right. And do right and do right until the stars fall. And then do right. Romans 12, verse 9 tells us this. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Friends, hold on to the good thing. Hold on to marriage as God not only intended it, but says it is. Amen. One man, one woman, one life. That's it. That's the way it ought to be. That's biblical. The word abhor, where it says abhor that which is evil, is apostagio, and it means to dislike, to have a horror of. It means to dislike it and have a horror of. There are some things that I dislike because they're against the things of God. To resist sin, we must see sin as exceedingly sinful. To see it as a scourge. To see it as the scourge that it is. Because sin brings heartache and heartbreak. And let me say this, and I know the schools are teaching it, and I know they're pushing it, but the suicide rate among teenagers who have got involved in this is 14% higher than the national rate of others. It's an unhappy lifestyle. It's one that you never, and that's why, listen, they'll never stop wanting more because they're missing something in here. They'll keep pushing for more and more because they're not right here. And I want them to be saved. And thank the Lord, in our ministry, we've seen some homosexuals come to Christ, one of them named Jeffrey. I preached his funeral. And it was in a service like this. At Central Baptist Church in Grenada. I didn't know him. I'd never met him. His mom and dad came, but he had lived away for a long time. He came into the service there, and I preached out of Romans chapter 1. I was preaching through Romans. And do you believe Providence brought him there? And he heard the message, and he came to me. He said, you preached that right to me. And he came to the Lord, trusted the Lord. Gave up that lifestyle with the help of God and died with AIDS that came to him prior to that. And there are other stories, but I believe that there comes a time, though, when they pass the line and become reprobate. And that's what we're seeing with many of those that are so militant today. They're beyond coming back. And that's biblical. To be reprobate, you'll never be saved. And I don't want that on anybody. But it does happen. James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Amen. Resist the devil. To win, we have to resist temptations that come our way. And we are all tempted. I was tempted to eat 2 pieces of that coconut cake yesterday. Shame on the one who... No. But we are tempted, Cheryl. We are. You know, there are good things. And there are things that are good that we need not have too much of. Amen? And there are things that are bad that we need none of. We need no portion of that. And so we are to resist those things, to say no to the lies of the devil, to say no to his attempts to destroy us. And if you do not resist him, if you do not flee, and you keep playing around with sin, you're going to be defeated. And I don't want to be defeated. I want to be a champion. I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And don't get fearful about all these things that are coming, because God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm glad that's in there. I don't think I'd have a sound mind if he hadn't given me one. Amen. To be champions, we must have the power of the Holy Spirit on our lives. Now, I believe that the baptism of the Spirit was a one-time thing. I believe on the day of Pentecost, the church was immersed, that church that already existed, in the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says we need to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, but be filled with the Spirit. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm thankful for this water. But I would not be thankful if Nathan had put half dirt and half water. It would not be filled with water. It would be dirty because of the dirt in there. And if you get dirt in your life, it's going to affect all of your life. Oh, yeah, there'll be some spirit in there because you're indwelt as a Christian if you're saved. But if you've got dirt in your life, it affects your life. It discolors it. Amen. And we don't want that. We want to be filled with the Spirit. And we want to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns. My girls, the boys never got on to me too much, but the girls said, Daddy, you sing too loud. Said, you embarrass us. You sing so loud. And you'll go to the grocery store singing. And I've had at the checkout, I had a lady, one of the checkers one time said, what's wrong with you? Said, everybody else in here's down in the mouth, and you seem like you're happy. I am happy. I am happy. I have God living within me. Wow. How can you beat that? He dwells in us who are Christians. The Bible says to have victory as children of God, we must do that and have that through the Spirit of God. And as children of God, we have victory. It's there to be claimed. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4, where the Bible says, ye are of God, little children. Ye are of God, little children. And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We've got the Spirit of God living within us. If you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of his, but I'm one of his. And I see his working and see his power, his providence. The older that a person gets, the more they see how God has led and directed in his providence as a child. Oh, dear friends, to be champions, we must have a moral compass, and that compass is the Bible. To be a champion, we've got to have the Word of God, and we have the preserved Word of God in the King James Bible. The Bible says that the Word is our light for traveling in a dark world. Traveling in a dark world. I was down in the supply room of one of the ships talking to Ramon, one of the men who's come to Christ and who now is helping us distribute Bibles on board. What a blessing that is. And one of the British seafarers came in and he said, "Ramon, have you got any torches?" And Ramon is thinking, like most would, do you need acetylene or what? And the fellow said, no, you know, you flip it on with the switch and it's battery. Oh, you mean a flashlight? Yeah, so they call them torches. And we need light. And this fellow needed a torch. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Word of God is what we need. The Bible is so very important. And let me quote from Charles Haddon Spurgeon concerning the Bible, and I quote, "The truth of God is the only holy treasure for which we seek, and the Scripture is the only field in which we dig for it. If you keep close to the inspired book, you can suffer no harm. You are at the fountainhead of all moral and spiritual good. This is fit food for the people of God. This is the bread which nourishes the highest life. The prayerful study of the Word of God is not only a means of instruction, but is an act of devotion wherein the transforming power of grace is often exercised, changing us into the image of Christ, of whom the Word is a mirror. Within the Scriptures, there is a balm for every wound. There is a salve for every sore. Oh, the wondrous power of the Scripture to create a heart of hope within the ribs of despair. Amidst the sharp and strong temptation and fierce and bitter trials, the Word of the Lord has preserved us. Amidst discouragements which dampened our hopes and the disappointments which wounded our hearts, our Bibles have brought us a secret, unconquerable comfort, consolation. Oh, could Spurgeon put it well? The Bible is the most needed book in all the world. That's why I want to get it in the hands of as many people as I can. It's the book, the inspired book. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's given by the breath of God. And friends, Brother Frizzell did well on preaching on prayer. And that's the last point of this message. We must pray. If you're going to be a champion, you've got to pray. Because that's communion with God. One of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And God will do that. I want to be a champion. I want to be a winner for the Lord. And my prayer is that you will be a champion too. And listen, we all go through trials. We all go through tribulation. But friends, in the midst of it all, keep swimming upstream. Keep fighting the good fight. Never lay down your sword. Amen? Serve the Lord with gladness. Be a champion. Bless you, brother.